Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
So Ireland's joining us from Memphis.
Yes.
John, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. So did you hear the sound we just played from Brian Windhorst by chance?
No.
Okay. I want to play it for you again because I would have to imagine that at some point in your long career of traveling with the Lakers and everything else that you have run into a situation similar to this. Emily, are we ready to play it again?
Happy about the early wake-up call here in Phoenix, and let's just say that messages have been delivered not in a soft manner. I'm trying to avoid having a wrap on any part of my body.
Did the hotel manager tell you, knock on your door, say quiet down in there?
This individual did not contact the manager, but their point was made very strongly. So I'm trying to respect my neighbors here in Phoenix before 7 a.m. here.
Have you ever had a situation, John, where you're doing a show or anything else in your hotel room and somebody's angry that you're making too much noise?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, it happens pretty consistently. I think that you have to, you know, just I'm on a floor right now with a lot of players. I hope nobody's taking a nap, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, right.
I want to know the back and forth, though. That one thing, if management very politely knocks on the door and says, Mr. Windhorst, some guests have complained that's a little noisy.
Yes.
There's another, if the guy bangs on the front door and says, if I hear you again, I'm going to break your arm.
Yeah, right.
That's a totally different putt, right? I mean, what do you say at that point?
Nothing. You just keep working. I mean, but... Like, this Mason and Ireland show today is going to be interesting. This is a terrible Comrex.
Yes, it is. It is rough. We've got a full, I'm being told, a full half second delay.
Oh, that's a few moments later.
What would you do, Mace?
What would I do if we had a full half second delay?
We're about to find out. We're going to get an answer to that.
Yeah.
But no, the guy that not a manager asking politely, please keep your voice down, but a fellow guest threatening you if you don't shut up.
Yeah. I mean, you really have no choice, right? I mean, it is your job. It is interfering. Although, you know, like when we were doing the World Series, I was down in Dallas and you were doing the show here. Same thing, but a lot of people were at the game. But it was like 10 o'clock at night, and I'm pretty loud when I do a show. So if somebody was trying to take a nap or go to sleep at night, it is problematic, but your job is your job, right?
And it's also how you approach it, right? Like if somebody comes
Depends
in
on who the guy is,
and they're just... if they're a complete a-hole, like it sounds like Windhorst obviously ran into, it's like you don't want to go out of your way to be nice either. You're like, all right, well, you don't like it, you don't like it.
UFC champion.
Then I'm being very quiet.
Yeah.
I'm going into the closet.
It's unbelievable. All right, John, so take me through what it was like in the building yesterday. Obviously, Slee and I spent the majority of our time talking about it. And watching it on TV, it felt like it was obviously a good game until the last minute when the Lakers went on that run. But it, oddly, to me at least, felt like the Lakers were in control of that game most of the afternoon. I never really thought they weren't going to win.
Wait, you never thought they weren't going to win when Anthony Davis went out?
When he said, I can't move my arm,
I'm talking, once they got in the second half and it was kind of going back and you realized he was back and he was healthy to go, it just felt like they were the better team. It just felt like they were in control of it, that they weren't freaking out. There was no sped up, you know, guys like Hachimura and Reeves in particular. What was it like inside the building?
When Anthony Davis went down, everybody thought, not only is this game over, this series is over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we thought there's no way he can, you know, if he can't play, the series is over. And then it completely flipped when Ja Morant went down and swung back the other way. And now people in Memphis are asking, is the series over for them? Because they don't know if they have Ja. So, Trav, it surprised me for you to say that you never thought the Lakers were going to lose. At halftime, I was convinced not only were the Lakers going to lose the game, they were going to lose the series.
Well, and as to John's,
then Anthony Davis came back.
To John's point, they were really dominant in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, particularly the fourth quarter. But it was a 1-point game with 3 minutes left. Mm-hmm. It was a toss up at that point.
But yes, I'm not saying that they could, but it just felt like that game. Let's go back to the Minnesota game. Obviously, they're playing very differently, but that felt like I don't know what the hell's going to happen here. It felt like they were playing really well. They were in control of what they were doing, and it didn't feel like they were on tilt at all. And I don't know if I felt that way about this team in weeks, where it just felt like they were in complete control of what they were trying to get done.
Yeah, I didn't see the game that way at all. I think that it was game one of a series. At halftime, it looked like Memphis was going to win. And I think if Ja Morant plays Thursday or Wednesday, that it could be another dogfight. I don't think it will be easy.
So with that in mind, Woj just tweeted a second ago, there is, quote, significant doubt, close quote, about Morant's availability for game two.
Yeah, and John, just to play off what you just said, even if he does play on Wednesday, it doesn't sound like he's going to be healthy, right? It doesn't sound like he's going to be himself. I got a difficult time, and it's not just off one game, but they're not healthy. There are times where you just get lucky in a matchup where the Lakers are, first off, they played good enough basketball to grab that number 7 seed. Yes, the play-in was incredibly ugly, but they got 4 days of rest, which is what they needed. Memphis is already missing Steven Adams. They're already missing Brandon Clark. If Ja Morant isn't 100% Ja Morant, how do they make that a series? I'm not even talking about how they win the series. How do they make it a series?
Yeah, it's a good question. They have a really good backup point guard in Tyus Jones, but I don't know if they can win a game if they don't have Ja, Adams, or Clark. I think if you're missing all three of those players, it's going to be really hard for them to win a game. But I hope Ja can play. He's one of the most exciting players in the league.
I don't know if you heard this. Probably didn't hear this, but I thought this was a great catch by Emily, that Chris Morales has adopted a French accent to describe Ja Morant. John, have you heard? Listen to this and tell me if Morales is French.
Will Ja Morant return?
Ja Morant. Ja Morant.
Yeah, sounds a little bit Pepe Le Pew there.
Yeah, this soft J, no T at the end.
Ja Morant.
Feel
I actually
Parisian.
Saw a painting by Ja Morant.
Lovely brushstrokes.
Have you seen the Morant exhibit?
It's perfect. So, all right, speaking of the basketball, what's up with Dr. Pimple Popper? Why did we have to see that 10,000 times this weekend?
I'm telling you, that was on the Learning Channel. Dr. Pimple Popper is on the Learning Channel. What
TLC?
The hell are we learning on TLC, the
people
Learning
like
Channel?
Weird stuff?
Yeah.
Are you? Because I get it. Taylor, for instance, like, yeah, I kind of want to see what's going on under that.
No,
I have no interest in
pimples.
No.
Don't give me pimples.
Was I crazy? Was that thing not on nonstop?
It was on a lot. It was on a lot. I have no
idea
why.
Did you see it, John?
No.
So, do you know what the show is?
No.
This is that. Are we sure it's only a half second?
Yeah.
That could be.
Like,
no,
a
it's
second
not.
And a half
I'm dropping out of crosstalk, boys.
All right. Well, so why does anybody want to watch somebody get their zit squeezed?
I have no idea. And honestly, it's just reality television is now so weird and angry and strange, and you know, people are hoarding, and people
like the hoarding ones
the
are weird too.
Shows,
oh my gosh,
those super creep me out.
Yeah,
I had an aunt who was a hoarder, and when they finally got into her house, she had ordered everything from Home Shopping and never opened any of it, so what? It was just box after box stacked and stacked.
How about the kitchen? How about the kitchen? The way it looks like, oh,
the old newspapers, empty bottles of mayonnaise, and
yeah. It's just the weirdest thing. And why are we fascinated by that? Why are we interested
in
that?
Is there not a there by the grace of God kind of moment? Like, at least I don't have that. Like, whatever we've got in our own stuff.
My life could be worse.
We've all got stuff. But I don't have issues of the newspaper from 1976.
And I don't have acne.
But it's any of those, like the pimple popper show. Even if, even
what about botched? Do you ever see botched?
Even worse.
It's okay, like, but that's the point. People who had bad plastic surgery and now their faces are all messed up.
By the way, that's most plastic surgery.
Most plastic surgery, yeah.
Can you watch anything that's just a surgery?
No,
I don't want to watch that.
No,
I don't want to watch surgeries. I don't want to watch any of that stuff.
Like if you're watching ER, I don't know what the current Chicago Hope, whatever the medical drama du jour
Grey's Anatomy.
Is.
Grey's Anatomy. It's been on for 100 years.
Even when they, and I know they're not really cutting that guy's chest open. Yeah. I don't even want to watch that.
What was it? Wasn't there a Seinfeld where they were observing and they dropped a junior mint into they were refreshing. Operating?
Really quite refreshing.
Yeah, it's very refreshing. You're right.
Yeah, no more of those commercials. We got it. We got the point.
No, we get it.
And we didn't know that was the audience.
If you're a pimple fan, I know you where you can see the popper.
Taylor, that's the Taylor Smith show. He likes it.
No.
I haven't seen it. I just want to see if they blur it out in the actual show or not.
I'm going to say
they don't. I think they're going to show it.
What would be
the
point of blurring out the pimple if it's Dr. Pimple Popper?
Well, the commercial did it.
Maybe they don't want to stun NBA viewers.
They don't want kids to see it.
I'm here for LeBron James.
That's the money shot after all.
Yeah.
For this.
Yeah, no, I came for the game. Didn't come for the pimples.
Did you know about T-bars?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Okay. Taylor, describe the show or the place that you played at on Saturday. The poor guy didn't get a chance to watch the Kings and the Warriors. Playoffs for the first time.
I recorded it. Don't worry. Yeah. I mean, I had booked this a month ago, so I was going to play a T-bar in Redondo Beach, and they've got everything set up like a normal bar, except they just don't serve alcohol, only tea.
They only serve tea?
Yeah. That's the deal.
And he said the place was going off. Like it was.
Places popping, everybody's caffeinated and jumping around.
Just like flavors of tea.
Chamomile, Earl Grey.
Any kind of tea you want.
Whatever
you
need, buddy. Some rock and roll. Is that what?
You want a double?
Got hot tea, cold tea.
Is this just a place that couldn't afford a liquor license? Or
no, the owner was telling me they used to sell it out of a van, and then the clientele expanded so much that they had to get a storefront.
Hey, you want some of this tea?
I got some tea in the back of my van.
That feels like the after-school special they told you to be careful of.
Watch out for the tea.
Maybe they're putting something in it. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow, that's strange.
Right, so I said to him, did you at least get to watch the game
while
you were playing the music? He's like, no, they didn't have the game on TV. T-bar? I keep wanting to call it T-bar.
T-bar. Racer T-bar.
What do you think's on the television in the T-bar that prevented him from seeing his
TV? Something British?
You're never going to guess.
What I guess.
Like what's that show? Downton Abbey is on.
Not Downton Abbey.
No, yeah, why not Downton Abbey?
We went Murder, She Wrote. We kind of tried thinking of...
No. Tractor Pull.
Tractor Pull is not a T sport. That is not a T sport.
Maybe with this whole idea of like lining up products with audiences, Dr. Pimple Popper with the NBA, Tractor Pulls with the tea room. All of these, none of it makes sense anymore.
No, none.
Stupid.
We're still trying to figure it all out. But he said that the place was going off. So if you think they're just because they don't have a liquor license,
yes.
No, that's a thing.
Yeah,
that's a thing happening.
Would you ever go to a place like that?
A tea bar?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
What if they served coffee and you're just sitting
coffee,
down?
Coffee is that like a coffee house is a thing, right?
Right.
Like a coffee house. People do
they
go
have food at your tea bar.
I think they had like acai bowls, something like that. But
acai bowls.
I would think
and
just
tea.
Like desserts.
Yeah,
so, yeah, desserts. That makes more sense.
Go desserts.
And does that change your set? Like, do you play something different based on tea? Like,
I was just playing acoustic stuff, pretty mellow. Yeah.
Was it just you? Was it just fiddle?
I was going solo, so I had my guitar and I had a loop pedal that I played with my fiddle as well. But
nothing but iced tea covers.
He said they have metal bands in there too sometimes, so they're just everywhere.
They're doing it on purpose.
They're doing it
all.
Amazing.
That's weird for weird's sake is not my jam.
We just promoted the hell out of them too.
No, yeah, again, but I don't.
Racer T, Redondo Beach.
Let's put some things together that make no sense together.
Yeah.
Let's put live music, tea, and tractor pulls
and pimples. Yeah. By the way, I see them all in scramble mode over there. I don't know what.
So
we're
what happens
do with
now?
Show.
Yeah, what happens if it's like if it's a second delay?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty
significant
delay.
There's going to be some dead spaces during the show. We'll play a sound effect.
Oh, I like that.
We'll play a little music before we get to John. Something
we have
like
something
that.
Underneath though, like a bed the entire time. Just to
that's
not a
probably appropriate. By the way, I'm watching the end of the Dodger game. It is unbelievable how much that guy wanted to get to the airport.
What the hell was going
Seriously,
on there?
Three absolutely off the plate pitches called for strikes and called strike threes.
There's
what if, can I just say this theory? What if he knew Clippers and Suns were as close as it
oh,
was?
Oh yeah, right. I gotta
so
see.
So maybe
Kawhi.
I gotta get out of here and I could see some of Russ's shooting.
When you are operating in the most the pinnacle of your sport.
Right.
Okay. Well, whatever, pinnacle of your occupation.
Yes.
I want to take it out of sports. That is a fireable offense, no? Everyone can have a bad day. You can, and I'm not saying that you fire him on the spot, but that arguably changed that game. It wasn't one. It wasn't
There's
even
a review
two,
coming.
It was three. Mm-hmm. This has to be a, come on in here. I want you to look at this. This can't happen again.
And part of it was, it's the ninth inning.
Yes.
Like, if there had been a bad call in the third, a bad call in the sixth, and a bad call in the ninth, you'd say, all right, the guy had a few bad calls. But to have three in a row is a joke. We all should know that guy's name. It is Sean Barber. Sean Barber is the guy who is the umpire in that situation.
Have you Googled his email yet?
No, not yet. No, but I will.
Still got to email Sean the guy.
Did you do it?
No, I still got to email him.
Sean.Barber@gmail.com. Just taking a shot.
Some poor guy named Sean MLB. Barber is going to get bombarded with "you suck, Barber" emails.
You did not email the...
No, I haven't emailed him.
Oh, you got to email the CEO of Spirit Airlines. You know he'll take care of it right away. I guarantee you he will.
I think you're right.
Well, yeah, I haven't right. acted since I made a fuss about it on Friday, so I got to act.
Fuss. Right, made a fuss.
Very quickly before we let you do your 1.5 second delay show coming up, your level of concern for the Dodgers is what? Because I'm like, if we're doing 1 to 10, I'm like, I'm a 4.
Your
now.
Alarm clock was a good.
Four. I'm a 5.
Yeah,
I'm a 5.
Nothing crazy.
Bullpen's been pretty trashy.
Bad.
I think
second half of the order's bad.
The third half of the order.
The last third?
The last third is just, like, awful right now. Chris Taylor occasionally lays into one.
Yeah, but...
But other... You know, it's the most deceiving 4-home-run start I've ever seen because his swing is not right.
Austin Barnes finally just got a hit yesterday.
Yeah.
That's right. He's 0-for-18 to start.
That's a tough way to get off the... It's not quite Max Muncy 0-for-5 with 5 Ks, but... Pretty bad. Good luck, Mace.
I'll need it.
Good luck.
Yes.
Get those crickets.
Stay tuned. A little silence before each conversation.
Super Crosstalk's powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. We will see you tomorrow.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everybody's here. Shinano's hanging out. Ireland's in Memphis. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mace.
Good afternoon.
Happy Monday. Hashtag blessed.
That was a Shinano growl.
That was Shinano and then the growl. So, Ireland, what's how you feeling down there?
Well, very good about the game. Not so good about this delay that I have with you guys, but I'll leave it up to you whether or not you want to pull the plug on it. We're working on getting a studio tomorrow.
Oh, okay,
so,
good.
We won't have this issue tomorrow.
All right.
Well, I can tell you, Ireland, I know the people at 92.9 in Memphis, the ESPN station there, really, really nice people. I could text you the guy's number right now.
Text it to Amanda because she's working on this as we speak.
Okay,
excellent.
I will.
So, John, I don't know how long we're going to hang out here, but John, your take on the game. The one thing I'll say is, you didn't expect to come away from that game yesterday saying it was Rui Hachimura and it was Austin Reeves that were the guys that actually carried the show. I mean, LeBron and AD were obviously great, but those two guys stepping up was amazing and speaks to the depth of this team.
Well, not only that, but I think that Ja Morant getting injured too just totally changes the series. If he can't go... And Woj just communicated that it's doubtful.
Yes.
Now that he plays on Wednesday, if he can't go, then I think the Lakers control this series. I mean, it's one thing to lose Steven Adams. It's another to lose Brandon Clark. You lose Steven Adams, Brandon Clark, and Ja Morant, I don't know how you can be competitive. So that's the next thing that we got to watch is, can Ja play on Wednesday?
So, John, we've decided we're going to eject, but right now...
Oh, look at you.
Right now, say everything that you want to say about the series.
Oh, hot take Ireland. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Well, I just think that, number one, the Lakers, now that they've got one game, they can't be happy. They can't just say, okay, we came here to get one and mail it in on Wednesday. I think they have to get greedy now and go for two. That's my only thought, is that they should treat game two like they lost game one. And if you get game two, then you have a chance to go home and maybe not have to come back here, which I never thought was even remotely possible, but I think that now.
So, by the way, the other betting, we had a betting line. Number of times John Ireland would go to Gus's Fried Chicken. The over-under was 3.5. John, where do we stand?
One, we went there on Saturday night. And Michael, Billy Mack, Stu, and I went, and I don't think we're going back. I think we're going to go to Rendezvous, which is a rib joint, on either tonight or tomorrow night, and then I think we're going to go to somewhere else on the third night. So I think it's only going to be a one and done at Gus's.
One and done. That's
well, honestly, your ticker will be okay with that, to be honest with you. As much as we all love fried chicken, it's probably you doing the whole thing every day, like, probably was a terrible idea for your health.
Very true. And we have food here at the hotel too. The Lakers have they brought a chef on this trip.
Ooh, so nice.
We got really good food here at this hotel.
Excellent.
Too.
Wow.
All right, so we will talk to you tomorrow from Memphis. We'll get this all resolved, and in the meantime, we'll make some radio today. Thanks, man.
Okay, see ya.
Okay. Now, that's the...
Well, now, how...
I would say that's the worst we've ever had.
How serendipitous is this? I happen to be in the other building...
Yep.
Doing Around the Horn.
Yep.
And then I had to come here because I'm hosting the ESPN Daily this week.
Oh, okay.
Since Pablo's gone, they're rotating people.
Right.
And I had to do some retakes, and I needed to do it from here because my laptop doesn't have the same connection port as my home desktop does. So I happened to be here, and then Greg's like, hey, can you do the show? Because John's situation is dire.
How come I never get asked to do the ESPN Daily? I'm super smart.
You are.
And that's a super smart podcast.
Yeah. I don't know, to be honest with you. You probably aren't chumming up to the right people.
I'm definitely not. Yeah, that's one thing I don't possess that you have.
What's that?
Power of the schmooze. I don't have the power of the schmooze.
The key to the schmooze is really just knowing when to pick and choose your spots. You can't schmooze all the time. See, Cappy's problem is he schmoozes all the
100%
time.
100% schmoozer.
Yeah, you got to go. You got to be like an assassin. You got to go in and go out and get your target.
Surgical.
And that's it. Correct.
Surgical schmooze.
Yeah, but Cappy's like schmooze all day, all night. Like,
yeah,
you can't do 24-hour schmooze. You can't be the 7-Eleven of schmooze.
Right. So the game, I'll tell you what. I mean, I said Lakers in six. Now, after looking at that.
I feel Lakers in five or six is very likely.
Yeah, I feel. And Ja, this is interesting. I want to play this. Mm-hmm. This is very Ireland-esque, but I'm going to play this for you. This is what Ja said a little bit after. This was after the game, right, Bergman? Right after the game.
Tough, man. Especially, you know, with everything I've been through pretty much, you know, this season. You know, my main focus was to, you know, be out there for my guys.
It's really all I wanted. After everything.
No, you missed the whole important part. The important part's at the end.
Okay, fine.
Jeez, man.
Tough, man. Especially, you know, with everything I've been through pretty much, you know, this season. You know, my main focus was to, you know, be out there for my guys. Another, you know, incident where, you know, that's pretty much in, you know, jeopardy. So, but I know, you know, I'm going to do anything to, you know, try to be out there for my team, be out there on the floor. It's pretty much, you know, how much, you know, I can tolerate. I feel like, you know, I can go out there and, you know, be somewhat myself. You know, I'll probably play, but if not, you know, I don't want to do anything to, you know, hurt the team. So, honestly, man, I don't know. At this point, not even surprised with, you know, how my life been going. So,
not even surprised with how my life has been going.
Yeah.
There's almost like this sort of defeated sense.
Yeah,
about
I mean,
him.
Yeah, his hand is busted. His hand was already busted beforehand.
Right.
So it's going to be terrible for him, fortuitous for the Lakers, obviously, at this point.
Yeah.
And they were already missing, to John's point, Steven Adams and Brandon Clark. It's why I liked the Lakers to begin with. They didn't have enough bodies, particularly against AD.
Right.
And now they've got a guy, they've basically down to just Jaren Jackson and Dylan Brooks and Bane and those guys. Now, they have played well without Ja the last two seasons, but the majority of that, Mace, has been in the regular season.
Right, and they were, I mean, until Ja got hurt, that game was still
right there
for him.
And Ja was really the only guy on that roster the Lakers didn't have a real matchup for.
Right.
So without him being a viable candidate to play, the Lakers should win this thing fairly easily.
Now, you heard about, I don't know if you heard Greg Bergman's pick.
He had Memphis in six.
Yeah, that's exactly what it had. But
now,
I mean,
are you going to try
change.
To climb
new
back
information?
Onto the boat?
I'm not allowed to change my pick. Once you make a pick, once you make a pick for a series, you can't change it.
No, I mean, technically you can't. I mean, mine go on ESPN.com
Correct.
And everybody makes fun of me when I get it right or when I get it wrong. So there's that.
Sure.
Yeah. Right.
Sure.
New information. Yeah, absolutely. Without Steven Adams, no Brandon Clark, and now no job.
So are you going to flip-flop?
It's not flip-flopping. It's not flip-flopping.
You always accuse me of flip-flopping. You're
because
flip-flop
you do.
Right here.
Because you go from
well,
one day to
flip-flopper.
The next.
No, I'm not a flip-flopper.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you are.
Okay,
one
day.
I have a flip-flopper thing going on.
AD plays horrible 1 week, and then, oh, they should trade him. He plays great
that
the next week, and you're like, oh,
ago.
We should keep him
that
and rebuild around him.
Stop. Ago. Don't.
Thanks for having my back. All right, Larry, is flip-flopper. See, yeah, but
you
like if I'm allowed to change my pick, then I would, but I'm not allowed to. My pick was Memphis in five or six, and I really want to be wrong. Everybody's reaching out to me on Twitter and being like, oh, how's that feel, Berg?
Yeah,
I'm like,
how's that feel, Berg?
I say, great.
By the way, this
because I want them
stinks.
To win.
I don't know.
The microphone's
not
working?
God.
Oh, my God. What is
no,
going on
it does. No, it works. It's just, it stinks.
Well, you know that John Ireland sits there, right? And he spits all over.
Yeah, that is Ireland's microphone.
Go to the other one. Move to the other one.
Don't you have a mic hoodie?
I do.
Is that called a mic?
But let's switch to the. This doesn't smell like anything. Let's use this one instead.
Yeah, that's the.
Yeah.
I get it. It doesn't stink. It stinks.
Yes. Like, literally stinks.
Yeah.
How does it feel on that side? Because you're always on the other side.
How does Sliwa use that thing?
I don't know. That's Ireland's mic.
Or maybe it's Sliwa too.
Yeah, might be.
Yeah.
Might be. All right, it is Michelob Ultra Reaction Monday on 710 ESPN, reacting to the Lakers' huge statement win. It is presented by Michelob Ultra, a refreshing and balanced flavor with only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Please enjoy responsibly.
Let's get after it, Mace.
Let's do it. Mason Ireland, Sedano is here. 710 ESPN.
Mace, you're a flip-flopper.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
Listen closely. As a master painter carefully brushes Benjamin Moore Regal Select down the seam of the wall. It's like poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
Oh my God. From Memphis, Justin Timberlake. I would argue Justin Timberlake's best song. This is Mirrors.
Mirrors?
Mirrors.
Which one's Mirrors? I don't know that
this
one.
This song.
This is Mirrors? This
yeah,
is
this
his
is
best.
Mirrors.
You think this is his best song? I mean, it's good. Isn't Suit and Tie?
Oh, Suit and Tie is good too.
Yeah, Suit and Tie is a better song, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
You don't even know the words.
Well, we can flip flop between songs, you know?
Sure. By the way, don't forget.
Chat fight.
Chat fight.
Yeah, you're
the,
trying to fight
YouTube
me right
today.
Now. In a
I
chat
am.
Fight.
I went after you.
Why are you going after me?
Got. I
button?
Hit this by accident, but I want to say
it actually
something.
Works because you want to talk about it.
I want to, and Sedano has stepped out. This show is going to be all over the board today. I have
technical
no idea.
Difficulties all day.
Okay,
please
go,
bear with us.
Go back to the Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something. By the way, by Marcus Mumford, one of my favorite musical acts. Here's my hot take.
Hot take.
Ted Lasso was great. and now is just okay.
Are you saying it's jumped the shark already?
It's just okay.
How so? What makes it okay?
It's kind of boring a little bit.
Why, because they included too much soccer for you now?
No. No, it's
that's a great way to put it.
Because I get the happy talk, and I get the clever pun. I get the whole thing, and I wonder if Ted Lasso did really well in part because it was the pandemic, and we were looking for something happy and optimistic.
So I don't know, because last year it was still really good. I thought they had a great season last season. And then now that wasn't in the pandemic. I guess it was kind of coming out of the pandemic.
Like, I'm glad it's ending after this year.
Well, it should end up. It was always supposed to end after three.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I get it. This season is a lot lighter. It's softer. There's not a lot that's really going crazy. Like the Zava stuff is the biggest.
It's fine. Yeah.
The only thing I think is interesting is like Ted Lasso is actually, he's not doing anything. And he's just letting everybody else take control, and he's just looking and just watching things happen. He's not actually coaching as much as he would.
Is he ever really been coaching? I mean, Jorge, he's not like drawing up plays or anything like that. It's Beard that's drawn up the plays.
Beard and
before that, Nate, and then the other guy.
What's his name? The one that says the F word every...
Roy Kent.
Roy, yeah. It's Roy and Beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is that the way it works in soccer? Is there always one guy that's out front that's not doing anything?
Well, yeah, but at some point, you know, you as a coach have a decision to make. But he's just like, yeah, let's just run with whatever you guys got. That looks great. That's not the way you
do it. So do you agree that Ted Lasso is...
Look, I understand.
Lost some steam?
No. I, you know, Brendan and I sit into it. I like it, especially because there's a little more soccer involved.
Right.
I mean, it's cheesy soccer playing.
Yes.
But I like the fact that they're getting involved with more
football
teams.
Is still life. Don't get me wrong. It's still life, but it's not as lively.
I mean, if you put the three seasons together and you try to rank them, the first season was fantastic, way at the top, really
second
high.
Second season was second.
It was second. Yeah, each season has gotten steadily slower.
So I'm glad that they're ending.
Yes, well, it should, absolutely.
And weirdly, last night, watched Succession. I'm not going to spoil anything from Succession.
I didn't watch it.
But I'm also glad that's ending. Like, I think it's better to end early than to string it along a long time.
Absolutely.
Like, Big Bang Theory, season 18 was probably
sitcom.
Too much.
Ah,
I
different.
Know, but it's the same thing. All those shows, Modern Family... 20 years or whatever it was, it's just too long. Go out on top. I think both these shows are going out near top.
And that's the right way to do it. I totally agree. But, I mean, there's other shows like South Park. I still watch all the new episodes of South Park.
Yeah, South Park's...
And that's been going on forever.
Category. I love South Park. But anyways, it's only because I hit the Ted Lasso theme on accident. Chat fight.
Yeah, stop trying to make me into a flip-flopper.
You are a flip-flopper.
Why? I'm not coming in. I'm not changing. My pick is still my pick.
You're a windsurfer.
I understand what you're trying to do. But, like, what in that game? I mean, look, first of all, the Lakers looked fantastic.
They looked unbelievable. That's one of the best games they played this year. I'm tired of saying that's the best game, but that's one of the best games they played all year.
Well, yeah, they had control of the game throughout. As much as even when they were down a little bit, they still would always you could always tell that they were going to be right there the entire time.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't expect Rui Hachimura to go for 29 every night.
No, but somebody else, you know, Dennis Schroeder may go, or
could be
Jared Vanderbilt might go, or Malik Beasley might go. Like, they've got guys, they've got depth now that they didn't have to start the year.
Right, but it was nice to see Rui do that, but he's not a good three-point shooter. He's below 30% of a three-point shooter, and he hit 6 of 7 threes. Like, that's not going to happen. You see Dylan Brooks after the game was like, let's see if he can do it again.
Yeah.
To your point, it doesn't matter if he doesn't do it again.
Correct.
Somebody else
will do it.
Yeah, it's not going to be Vanderbilt, but still, that's...
Somebody's going
to
do it.
Vanderbilt actually did exactly what he needed to do. He came right in, went after Ja Morant.
Yep.
Ja was not playing to the best of his abilities. So, I mean, yeah, the hand kind of does a little bit for that, but that was a good defensive effort from the very beginning, and it was a good offensive effort from the very
Tell
beginning.
Tell you what, Austin Reeves, he had that sequence that... He had a layup, he had a three-pointer, he had a mid-range, and then he had the behind-the-back feed to Rui for the three. I mean, that was an unbelievable run for that guy.
Yeah, Austin Reeves, I love how people always try and compare him to Alex Caruso. Every time they bring up Austin Reeves, it's like,
Wait a minute, they're both white.
That's it. That's it. That's your whole thing
there. It's totally
But they're totally different players. Like, he is a full-on offensive player.
Yeah.
He does have a good defensive game, but he's an offensive guy, where Alex Caruso is very much just a defensive guy who'd come in and get a dunk every once in a while.
His fourth quarter, courtesy ESPN Stats and Information, and then courtesy George Shedano. Austin Reeves in the fourth quarter set a career high in any quarter of his career with 14 points. He scored seven of LA's 10 clutch time points. He scored or assisted on 19 points. He went 4-for-4 on open looks, and he held Memphis to 0-for-5 as the primary defender.
Yeah, he is a legit good player. And they were talking about it on the broadcast last night, where they're saying he, if he didn't have an injury earlier in the season, he could have been an all-star.
Yeah.
Like, he has the ability to be an all-star. This guy really, is going to be really, something.
The second half of the year, I mean, it's like he played into this level. Because from mid-season on, he's been this.
Well, yeah, he has been. But he also, for a lot of the time, what really got him going was he had that James Harden-esque kind of thing where he was trying to hunt fouls for a while. And finally, guys figured out that he's trying to hunt those fouls, and he's still getting into the middle of the paint.
Right.
And he's still putting up those little bunny hooks that he's putting in real nice. It's actually pretty crazy to see how much he's changed from last year to this year.
Is it the Mason and Corporate Greg show today?
For today, apparently that's what it's going to be until Shedano comes back.
Yeah.
Apparently, you know, I know a little bit about basketball.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. You're doing a good job.
Oh, thank you.
Chat fight.
I needed the...
Need a chat fight. Yeah. I know. I mean, I know I need affirmation, so you must need
absolutely
it more than me.
Well, I mean, I've worked with you long enough that you've kind of like put it on to me at some point.
Yeah.
Right?
So Michael Thompson's tweet is weird from last... I think this is from last night, right?
I don't get it.
He says, baby Spanky... Okay, no, this is his actual tweet.
Baby, he said baby Spanky?
Baby Spanky throwing money out the window. Google search. The Lakers paying Austin Reeves in the summer.
I mean, they are.
Baby Spanky throwing money out the window. Google search. The Lakers paying Austin Reeves this summer.
I have no idea
what he's even going for there. What is the baby... Google baby Spanky.
Well, I mean, he put the Google search on there. Can you click on the Google search?
Let me see.
Baby Spanky. I can't believe I'm on a corporate computer. Should I be typing in baby Spanky?
Baby Spanky. I've seen that one.
Is it Spanky? Oh, Spanky McFarland from...
Are you not
surprised
Spanky
that this has
McFarlane
something to do for something
from
in
the Little
50s?
Rascals. That goes back to our gang. That goes back to the 20s.
Oh, my. Years active, 1931 to 1944.
He is referencing things from his childhood. Baby Spanky Little Rascals.
Is this peak Michael Thompson Twitter?
Right up there. Right up there. Because I'm sure there was a way to do this. Now, Baby Spanky apparently got a lot of money. Is that the reference? Baby Spanky getting money.
I mean, is that something you get a lot of in the 1930s?
Baby Spanky getting money. Baby Spanking money out the window is a YouTube clip that is 26 seconds long. And apparently that's what Michael Thompson was referencing.
Is it like one of those, I need my money and I need it now?
Yeah. Wow.
1-800-CASH-NOW or whatever that commercial
is. He's old school. He's like the oldest school.
He's too old school.
Yeah, he is very...
It's black and white. So if it's black and white, it's Michael Thompson.
And I'm looking at the video. There is a video of a character named Baby Spanky who is literally a baby just chucking money out the window.
So is that what we're doing? We're just chucking money out the window for Austin Reeves?
Well, I did read that he
he's him.
Expected to get $70 to $80 million now.
But that means we're not going to be able to sign somebody else, right? Or no, you can sign your own guys to go over.
Yeah.
Right.
It would be... I mean, it was one thing for Caruso to leave. This kid is... He is so good.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be your third star. Like, he could legitimately be that number three guy for this team. It's going to be LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Austin Reeves as your three man, which is wild.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that was going to be a thing?
Never. No. By the way, were you not crazy nervous when Anthony Davis said my arm can't move or my arm isn't moving or whatever he said?
I can't move my arm. So that's what's so weird about that is that was the first time that I've seen Anthony Davis get injured, and I'm like, oh no, he's gonna be fine.
Really? What led you to believe he was gonna? Because I mean, obviously he was. What led you to believe he was?
It was the end of the half, so he was able to go to the locker room and not really mess around with anything. I think he missed 1 minute.
Right.
But he was holding his arm, and he didn't look in pain. He just said, I can't move my arm.
Right.
And then he went back, but it looked like he was totally fine. And also, you watch the replay over and over again, and nothing really seemed to hit him. It didn't seem anything that bad, so it looked like a stinger.
Jorge, what do you think?
I did not watch. I was watching the LAFC game, and they also got a win over the
LAFC
Galaxy.
The Galaxy, yeah.
So I was watching something else.
It made me think that I think I have a partially torn rotator cuff. That's what it made me think. I think I have a partially torn rotator cuff. Shinano's back here.
Anthony Davis?
I think it's like pickleball shoulder.
Oh,
stop. I'm serious. I think playing pickleball, I partially tore my rotator cuff.
Well, because you played too much in a short span of time?
Correct. Probably, Clinton Yates would say, without enough warm-up.
Right, probably too, yeah.
So, Shinano's back.
Yeah.
Did you just have your
show meeting?
Call?
Yeah,
show meeting?
Yeah, we went through it a little faster than usual.
What did you come up with?
I mean, stuff that we won't use here.
All right, good.
Yeah, so I got to save some stuff for my show.
Save it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just silly stuff. It's not like the stuff we'd be talking about the same stuff Lakers-wise.
Okay,
yeah. Do you really need to save it, though? Like, does it matter?
Yeah, no, save
Yeah, it does.
Save
Why?
It.
Because it's proprietary.
Do you do a call with Cappy and Lindsay?
No, just Lindsay.
Just Lindsay.
And then Lindsay then talks to Cappy because we have different schedules.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can we call Cappy on the air and have a whole meeting with you guys?
No, that would be terrible radio.
Yeah, that would be bad radio.
Do you guys talk about food? Because we can't talk about
We're
food
We're not allowed
show.
To talk about food
I heard. Anymore. Emily said no more.
Emily,
right? No more.
Yeah, the morning show owns the rights to food.
Wow.
Yeah, can't
And they're the morning show now.
Well, I mean, right?
They're our morning show.
They happen in the morning for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next for you, going to spin the wheel of questions.
Wow.
I put a bunch of real life questions on there. Real life questions.
Wow.
We will
I'm
do that coming
starving.
Up next. Mason in Ireland, Shidano is sitting in with us today. 710 ESPN.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs, like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mentalhealth.
All right, here we go. Okay, interesting question.
Oh, okay.
Shidano.
Yeah.
This relates to something that happened last night to me.
Okay.
So I went to nice little spot. I don't want to say exactly what spot, but it's in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And there were maybe 7-8 people. It's sort of a bar, pub, restaurant kind of thing. And the waiter could not have been less interested. He did all the stuff he was supposed to. Not friendly, didn't smile.
Just went through the motions.
Tossed the menu. Totally.
Tossed the menu?
Tossed the menus.
Really?
Yeah.
So what part of town was this restaurant?
Venice.
Okay.
Yeah, Venice.
Okay.
I don't want to say. It was a German restaurant.
Okay.
I don't want to say the name of it.
Why not?
Okay. I mean, there's probably not a lot of German restaurants in Venice.
Right. True. I might have
Type in German restaurant Venice.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll find
it. Fine. It's Rasselbach Kitchen Beer Garden.
There you go. I just found it.
Waiter could not have been
It was the first thing that came up when I put in German restaurant Venice.
There you go. So we did give it away.
Yeah.
So last night, waiter, whoever you are, couldn't have been less interested. They hand us the little screen, and it's got a 15, a 20, and a 25.
25 for the tip.
What button do you press?
Now, is this lunch or dinner?
Dinner. Bill was $75.
I minimum... for dinner, do 20%, even if the service is average or below average. I don't want to do it. Guy could be having a bad day. So I will go minimum 20%. I generally, on good service, tip 25 to 30.
So what button would you have pushed?
I would
yesterday?
Have hit 20 in that 20. Scenario.
Okay. Bergman, and by the way, I'm sure a very nice guy, all that. I mean, I'm assuming at some point he's a nice guy. It just wasn't when he was waiting on us. Bergman, what about you?
I always do 20%, and if it's really good, I'll go higher. No, never lower than 20%.
So you would have hit the 20.
On lunch, I would have done 15. if it was not good service.
Why does that matter?
Because lunch is actually supposed to be 15.
Oh,
why?
Is it really?
Lunch is supposed to be tipped less than dinner.
Why is that?
Dinner.
That was the usual rule of thumb.
I heard that dinner 25 is the new 20.
Right. I generally tip 25, but on bad service, I'll tip 20.
Wait a second. I was a waiter for a long time. If I did the lunch shift and got tipped less, I would be very angry. Doesn't matter. If I'm doing a lunch shift or a night shift, it doesn't
matter. But if I got bad service, I feel like lunch at 15, dinner at 20.
If you got bad service the way that Mason got bad service, where it wasn't very busy and there wasn't a lot going on, and it really
not
just
in the weeds. Guy, definitely not in the weeds.
Then it's not on the kitchen. 15 is acceptable. But normally, you should always go 20, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
TableAgent.com
says
the appropriate amount to tip servers depends on your service. 15% is appropriate for average service. 20% for your servers above average. You should feel free to tip above 20% if you received excellent service.
What do you guys consider above average?
25 is a... you mean service?
Service, yeah.
Oh, friendly.
Helpful.
Engaging.
Right. You may not know the menu,
Explain, hey, here's what I like on the menu. Like
never have to
game.
Refill my drinks. It's always just always
drinks
constant.
Always get refilled.
Bring napkins without me asking you.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All that stuff.
Seeing what you need and just doing it without having to be asked.
So what about you, Jorge? What button do you push?
20%.
20%
as well.
No matter what.
Yeah, I was a
20.
As well.
I'm 20. Yeah, you, why? Fine. What did you do?
10.
I was very upset.
5.
I was very upset.
You didn't tip at all.
Walked out.
Juan got the screen, the
Dine
little
dash.
Computer. He got the iPad.
Yeah.
He pressed 20. I would have pressed 15.
Okay.
I thought it was 15% service, not 20% service. Okay. But that might make, does that just make me a total jerk? Or am I supposed, is the tip supposed to be reflective of the service?
Yeah, I would. I think in theory, the tip is supposed to be reflective of your service.
Right.
Yeah. My bare minimum is 20, regardless.
Regardless.
That's like the lowest I'll go.
Right.
Good news, Sedano.
But I will go 25, 30, even higher on good service.
Yeah, on good service, I'll go higher.
I've tipped like 35% or 40% on great service.
Yeah, on great service, I'm totally in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the service was just lame there. Mm-hmm. All right,
what's the difference, though? What's the difference between, if it's $75 bill and you put 20%, it's probably going to be about $15.
Right.
So you're going to go down to, what, $12? $3
That's the way I look at
it's a very small amount of money,
right? It barely changes anything from your 15 to 20%
it's
in that situation.
It'd be different if it was all... It is... Listen.
It is the principle.
He has every right to tip based on the service.
It is called service.
Yeah.
Side of the server, always.
That's why they call it service.
You have the right to do it.
Yeah, I have the right.
I mean, do what you got to do, bro.
Okay. So here's what I wanted to get to. This is interesting. Dodgers, by the way, lost 2 out of 3 to the Cubs. They scored, 6 runs, I think, in the entire series?
2-2-2. 3 games, 2 runs scored each game.
So yesterday, bottom of the 9th.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts got on sort of an infield single.
Yeah, David Peralta was already out.
Peralta was up first. He took a called strike 3 that wasn't close. Then Mookie got on.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Do you tip on takeout?
Yeah, Ireland has guilted me into taking
it. I do it too.
You absolutely should. They're putting together your order.
I mean, the truth is, I'm always afraid somebody might know who I am. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm always afraid somebody
might. Now, what do you tip on takeout? 15 on takeout?
15 on takeout. Yeah.
That's fine. Right. Yeah. Totally fine.
So then Jason Hayward, just picking up the story.
Yeah, sorry.
Then Jason Hayward comes up, takes one way inside, called strike 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then Freddie Freeman, who's got the best feel for the strike zone, I think among the best in Major League Baseball, took a pitch that was low, again, called out looking. So 3 guys called out looking in the 9th inning, bottom of the 9th inning, balls completely out of the zone. The home plate umpire, Sean Barber, apparently had a flight to catch, or had dinner reservations or something like that. Is this not a great argument for why we should go to a computerized strike zone?
100%. I would think so. I think that tennis does it all the time.
Right.
Right? They have the eye in the sky. If you watch any tennis match, let's just say you watch the majors only on ESPN or whatever, they have every time a ball, you know, someone challenges whether it's in or out, they have that little computerized thing, and it shows you where the ball hit.
Yeah.
So why we already have that technology in baseball? You see where the ball is,
right?
Let's just do it.
Right. They're showing you. They showed, by the way, and Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser were calling the game, and they did the thing where they do the zoom in, and then they turn sideways, and you can see exactly where the balls were clearly and absolutely off the plate. This is, you're right, George, the technology does exist.
Right.
We've seen other, this year, technological advances in the game with the pitch clock and all that stuff. So I don't know why you wouldn't at this point go to a computerized strike zone, especially since Sean Barber effed up the end of that game yesterday.
You could still keep the umpires at the bases. I'm totally fine with that.
Well, and the umpire, somebody's got to be behind home plate listening to what the computer says,
correct,
and then calling that pitch.
Correct.
And so also calling the plays at the plate. When there's a slide at the plate, you need to be able to call that too.
There's still a job there. It's just not... The home plate umpire, in theory, has been the most important umpire in the game.
Yes.
In this case, that role will be reduced.
Correct.
Yeah.
The role will be less...
significant.
Integral, right. Yeah. He's just basically calling out what the computer says. Yeah, it was a terrible... exhibition of how bad umpires can be.
I'm watching it here. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's awful. And it's basically just, there's a whole thing on Twitter called the ump show, and that's what this is. This is the ump show. It's where they want to take control of the game, and they want to say, like, I'm taking control of this. This is what I'm going to do. It's awful.
It's like Frank Drebin in Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Strike three!
Totally is.
Bouncing around.
Totally is. I think my concern level for the Dodgers is actually... I mean, we were talking to Travis.
Oh, I didn't think it'd be that good this year.
Probably about a five.
Yeah,
they
have some trouble. Now, again, I told Bergman this. I told you Rojas is not going to be a good signing. Like, he's good defensively, can't hit a lick, okay?
But we knew that. We know that that's who he was going to be.
Right, and you're trying to integrate a bunch of young guys this year. The pitching has also looked a little shaky going into the season.
The bullpen has not been good at all.
Right?
The starting pitching, by the way, this weekend was fine.
Yeah, totally fine.
I was totally fine with Syndergaard, Grove, and Urias to a lesser extent.
And the Diamondbacks, to me, are like the Orioles 2 years ago.
You think so?
Where they're coming. Yeah, they're absolutely on their way. And I think that that's something you have to be afraid of. Plus, the Padres eventually will get things sorted out, right? So the Dodgers need to get their bleep together.
Yeah, no, they definitely do. And I honestly think they need to make some kind of move to address the middle infield situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when do you do it? Do you do it now?
I'd do it now.
I wouldn't waste very much time. Now, I do think the division will be there, like, for them. I think that nobody's going to run away with this thing unless the Padres start to really click.
They will at some point.
But... until they do that, until they start to pull away a little bit, then I would certainly.
Because right now it's even.
Yeah.
Padres are actually a game under 500. Arizona's a game over 500.
Correct.
Dodgers are 500.
You know, there's one team in the AL West and the NL West above 500. The Rangers and the Diamondbacks. Those are the only two teams.
Is that right?
In the West.
And the wild card will still be within reach, I think, because I think like teams like the Cubs or whatever, they're going to be in that mix. St. Louis will eventually get better too, I think, but. They're going to be within striking distance, I think. They're good enough to be in striking distance of the wild card spot, no matter what. So they can wait a little while.
But you're right about Arizona. Arizona could be for real.
Oh,
I think Arizona can hang. I love that kid. He'll probably win Rookie of the Year, that Corbin Carroll, if he qualifies.
They're good.
Well, he played last year. I don't know if he qualifies or not.
Yeah,
he was, he was definitely on the team last year.
I like Jake McCarthy. There are a bunch of guys I like on that team.
But
I
really
like
good.
I like what Sedano said, though, that they're like the Orioles from a couple years ago because they're that one-year-away type team where they're just swinging at everything. They run after everything. They're just a very aggressive team, and they're going to win games, but it's also going to start falling down.
Of anybody that steals bases.
No, and the Orioles, the difference is the Orioles, not to go too far into AL East baseball, but the Orioles are, to me, the most fun young team in baseball, I think. They just happen to play in arguably the most difficult division in the sport, right? The NL West is not that currently because the Giants are nowhere near as good as they were a few years ago, and it's basically it's going to be a three-team race, whereas the AL East, any of those teams can win, basically.
Right. All right, coming up, we do something, George, every day. We call it the 2 o'clock call of the day.
Oh, okay. Well, I got to go get my sandwich, so do you want me to participate in that?
I mean, get your sandwich. You know, I don't want to hold you up.
I mean, I haven't eaten anything. Busy, I've been fasting for 20-something hours.
Busy schedule, and we're glad you came in.
I'm happy to be here.
You probably did your Lakers Daily Show?
I did not. I did the ESPN Daily podcast.
Did we get
and Around the Horn?
Did we get the Blue Review out?
The Blue Review is not out yet, but it was recorded.
Is that you and Clint Yates now?
It is. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
No, what happened to you?
I sat this one out.
Just I didn't ask
the
him.
Season.
Yeah. I sat out the Blue Review.
Like period.
Yeah. Yeah. Period. Yeah. I'll pop in.
You're welcome to.
Yeah.
Come sit down at 8 o'clock in the morning with us.
Talk about Sean Barber.
8 o'clock in the morning, by the way. Not happening.
No, you're definitely asleep.
8 o'clock in the morning is a rumor.
What's
to
an
me.
Early day for you? Like an early wake up. Like even if normal.
8:45 to 9 o'clock.
Not like if you have like a flight to catch or anything like that. Like 8:45.
Sometimes, like this morning, I had a podcast, so I had to get up at 8:45.
Right.
Yeah. So
you and Sue.
Sue was out today. Andy Kamenetsky filled in
for Sue. Oh, wow, and the culture pop.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, Andy jumped in there.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next for you, 2 o'clock call of the day, 877-710-ESPN. Got to be great. Don't ask us how we're doing. 877-710-ESPN. It's anything you want. The 2 o'clock call of the day is coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.